Hey everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to www.jamiebateman/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman/haven. Let's get back to the show. All right, buckle up. This is a fun one. On this episode, we republish Matt Izzo's first episode with us. Matt joined us back in the summer of 2022. That episode was called From Fat and Depressed to Healthy and Happy with fitness coach Matt Izzo. And he is also featured in our book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation. A lot of the book does kind of slant towards real estate investing and business. And Matt's is a little different. Matt's chapter in our book and this episode that you're about to hear is all about physical transformation, but really it has a lot to do with emotional transformation. And that's what Matt's approach is all about, is the connection between your emotional state and your physical state. And we even get into a little bit of spiritual talk, I believe, if I recall correctly. I love the fact that Matt is very practical, yet very inspiring. So there's a lot of hope that comes out of this episode, but also steps that you can take to address, you know, if you're feeling stuck or if you are overweight, if you're, you know, most of us are not entirely physically healthy in today's, especially in the US. And so this one really hits home for a lot of people. Love the energy that Matt brings. He was so powerful in sharing his story that we brought him back for a second episode, which you can find as well. I just love chatting with Matt, and I hope you're inspired by it as much as I was. And like I said, he is featured in our book. He's one of the few guests that we really sought out to work with to be a part of our book, and that's why we're rerunning this episode. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. Are you an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur? Then this show is for you. Each week, we bring you impactful stories of real people who have overcome painful human adversity to create a life of abundance. A life of abundance. You are not alone in your struggle. Join us, and you will experience the power of true stories and gain practical knowledge from founders who have turned poverty into prosperity and weakness into wealth. This podcast will encourage you through your health, relationship, and financial challenges so you can become the hero in your quest for freedom. Take ownership of the life you are destined to live. Turn your adversity into abundance.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I am super excited today. I've got a special guest, Matt Izzo of Matt Izzo Fitness. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, and your time is very valuable. So truth be told, we don't know each other very well. Twitter and social media are interesting, add an interesting dynamic to life these days. And I came across your story, on Twitter, and I was really inspired by it. So I reached out to you and here we are. So again, I thank you for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
So you just told me that you're down in Florida now. Why don't you fill in some additional gaps for our listeners as to who you are today and what you have going on right now, and then we'll back up and get into your backstory.
Yeah, sure. So like you said, I just moved to Florida in the last couple of months, out in South Florida now. It's great, sunny and warm awesome. Every day. I had lived in New Jersey for my entire life up to that point, you know. And right now I am running my own coaching business where I help people primarily with fat loss, but also other fitness and mindset related things. You know, this is something that I've started in the last, pretty much in the last year after I quit my corporate job and decided to venture out on my own. You know, I had a long struggle with obesity and depression that took me probably 25 years to overcome that. And then, you know, now that I have done that and I lost the weight, I've kept it off for coming up on 5 years at the end of this month. You know, I feel like I've learned so much pretty much from the internet, right? And this is, I'm pretty much self-taught all these things. So I've learned so much over the years from these people that, you know, I went through all this for a reason and for a purpose. So now I share what I can, and I try to give back as much as I can to help others overcome some of the same struggles that I've overcome in my life.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think this is going to be a really relatable podcast for a lot of people and very inspirational. Episode. So yeah, I mean, I mentioned before we hit record, I probably need to talk to you more so I can get a little more inspired myself to get back into I'm into fitness, but not as much as I used to be. And like we said, life has seasons, but yeah, so really interested to get into the, you know, the adversity that you dealt with. And of course we can take it where you want to go with that. Some people have, you know, a few months of where it was like really, really bad, and two or three major life events in a negative way or challenges kind of occurred in that short period of time. I'm sure you do have episodes like that or time periods like that, but it sounds like you had a long stretch of struggles pertaining to, you know, mindset and the physical, I guess, challenges that you dealt with. So pick it up where you'd like to. I want to get, you know, dive into your backstory and talk about the adversity that you've been through.
Yeah. It really started with childhood, you know, and it's kind of hard to really put my finger on what it was, but you know, sometimes you just get into a negative sort of spiral, right? And things just kind of follow, right? If your energy is that way, that's what you attract into your life. And that's the sort of life and experience that you live. And, you know, from an early age, that was sort of my life and my experience. I ended up, you know, gaining weight. I was the fat kid in school back before, you know, most of the kids were the fat kid, right? Like now, probably.
Right.
But, you know, back then that was a really painful thing, you know, and I got made fun of a lot. I felt excluded a lot because of my weight, you know, when I would be made fun of for that. So it was always something that I really kind of fixated on as, you know, this was my biggest problem. You know, I would say that as I look back on it now with the added benefit, the perspective of time and all my life experience, that, you know, I used to think I hated myself because I was fat. It turned out that I hated myself and I was fat, right? So through the years, I tried to lose the weight. I did it successfully on multiple occasions, only to gain it back again. But you know, I never really addressed the underlying mental and emotional sorts of things that I needed to, right, in order to say that I've overcome this and I've really healed. So you know, that's the biggest takeaway from my journey is it's not just, oh, I lost some weight, right? It's really been more of a holistic transformation. Like, you know, I lost weight. I live a healthy lifestyle now. You know, I do all kinds of crazy stuff with endurance sports and stuff like that. But, you know, it's more than that. It's a mental and emotional transformation as well. Whereas now I'm a healthy person and, you know, I'm able to maintain this lifestyle effortlessly because this is now who I am. And it's not just something I'm trying to do.
Sure. Yeah. There's so many ways we could go with this, and we're obviously not going to cover every aspect today that we could, but I did watch your podcast with Zuby, and that was really good. And you guys got into toward the end, how the mental and physical
and spiritual aspects. And like you said, the holistic approach is necessary. It's not, they're not separate. I mean, you can somewhat isolate them and talk about them independently, but they're really not, they go hand in hand. So before we get to how you approach things, so you mind drilling down just slightly more on kind of the, maybe the pain that you were dealing with. And again, this isn't meant to be therapy or painful for you in any way, but just so that our listeners can understand. So you're saying for a while you thought you hated yourself because you're fat, but then, and those are your words, yeah. but you know, but it, you all, you hated yourself and you were fat. So are you kind of saying that you may have been overweight because you hated yourself as well?
Yeah. You know, and really what I've come to learn is that, you know, obesity is a symptom of these deeper underlying emotional sorts of problems, right? And like, it doesn't just happen in a vacuum. The inside reflects the outside and the outside reflects the inside, right? So mm-hmm.
That's really good.
It's really hard for me to just kind of pinpoint one or two specific things that happened, right? You know, but I was I was in a chronically negative state is how I would describe it. But What was really challenging is if you're in a chronically negative state, you don't necessarily realize you're in a chronically mm-hmm. negative state, you know, much in the way the fish doesn't see the, you know, water that it's in, right? If this is just how you experience life, you don't necessarily realize that, you know, this is different. You know, if you would have told me, you know, if you would have asked me what anxiety was in my mid-20s, I wouldn't have been able to tell you, let alone identify and say, oh, I have chronic anxiety problems, right? Because that was just life as I knew it.
That was your default, right?
And that was just how I experienced life, you know, and I really never would have thought that a life that I'm living now, you know, with the sort of energy and the emotion that I feel on a day-to-day basis, I didn't even realize that something like that was possible for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was always a part of me for some reason that was optimistic, right? You know, and I would say I was in a chronically negative state, but I always had some optimism about me and I always kind of knew that it would work out, mm-hmm. you know, and I stuck with it, you know, as best as I could. You know, there were certainly lots of adversity along the way, right? I lost the same 75 pounds three times, right? So, you know, I did it once in high school and then I ended up gaining all the weight back again, you know, and it's really demoralizing to put in all that work and put in all that effort and reach a goal, right? And then just have it just kind of slip through your fingers and vanish, you know, and you feel a lot of shame and embarrassment when that happens, you know, because you're failing so publicly, people are seeing you and mm-hmm. seeing what you're going through, right? So, yeah. you know, these sorts of things are tough to overcome. And, you know, this is why it took me so long to do it. But, you know, part of me just never gave up and, you know, always knew that there was a way out. I just needed to keep trying to do better every day, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, educate myself more, you know, just try to do more with what energy I had at the time. And you know, this is how I got to the place where I am now.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I mean, it just, it sounds like you just got, probably a lot of people can identify with, you got on into a mental pattern of this is my default. This is who I am. This is my identity. And for those who, you know, are listening or, you know, are going to watch this on YouTube, even go back and look at Matt's, you know, like your Twitter, Instagram. I mean, I've seen the before and after, and it's like HGTV pictures, you know, people love that in real estate. It's like, the before and after pictures are amazing, but there's so much work that went into that, you know, that's easy to gloss over. So I just have a ton of respect for your transformation and this time keeping it off. I mean, it's really incredible. So you lost the weight a couple times, regained it a couple times, and then have kept it off for coming up on 5 years, you said, I believe. What's been the difference this time?
So what I realized was I needed to make a plan, right? Because I lost weight again in my mid-20s and I really educated myself a lot about fitness and nutrition, right? And I taught myself all this stuff and I did it in a really intelligent way. And then I kind of realized, I thought then at least that, okay, my problems are solved, right? I have all this knowledge now. And, you know, I didn't have this knowledge before, but now I know how to eat. I know what protein, fat, and carbohydrates are, all this stuff. And I'm like, great, I did it. My problem is solved. Well, knowledge is useless if you don't apply it, right? So I had the knowledge, but I stopped applying it, you know, and I dealt with some adversity, right? To keep in the theme of the show. Yeah. I had some more emotional trauma. I suffered an injury, you know, and next thing you know, I'm back being fat again. And, you know, it took me 8 years to kind of get around to doing it again, because, you know, it's an overwhelming proposition, you know, trying to lose a large amount of fat, as I'm sure many people can relate to, right? Just the energy and time that it takes to do it is a lot. Mm-hmm. So I always knew that I could lose the weight. What I realized was I needed to formulate a plan to actually keep it off, right? Because I don't want to do all this work for nothing and just have it just go away again. So I figured out that if I just kind of kept doing the same things I was doing while I lost the weight,
right,
if I just kept that up after, then it's going to be really hard for me to gain weight again. If I'm tracking my food intake, if I'm, you know, monitoring my calories, if I'm weighing myself every day, then how could I possibly gain weight back again? And even if I did gain a few pounds, well, if I can lose 75 pounds, I can lose 5 pounds. It's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I really committed myself to this being a lifelong plan and saying, all right, you know, if it takes me 5 or 10 minutes of effort a day, well, that's a lot better than being obese, right? So I lost the weight and I just kept on with it. And then I kind of kept on with my self-improvement journey. And this is how I came to, you know, turn around my mental, my emotional and my, you know, even connect with my spiritual side, which I wouldn't say I had any connection to. It was through, you know, just continuing my growth, my development, continuing to learn, continuing to experiment with different things. We'll say meditation and journaling and, you know, all sorts of other things and, you know, exposing myself to different ideas and different books. You know, that this is when I started to really make connections and start to understand how I worked, how other people worked. And then I started to grow mentally and emotionally, you know, and this is what has allowed me to, I would say, make a holistic transformation. Whereas now I don't have to do all these things. I don't have to closely monitor what I'm doing because this is now who I am. Mm. I have in a sense rebuilt my self-image to be the person that I am now. So when my subconscious mind takes over, when I stop being intentional, I still behave in alignment with who I am right now, not the way I used to be 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Have you read James Clear, Atomic Habits?
I have not, but I've heard good things.
I put you on the spot there, but it's almost like you could co-write it, I think.
Yeah.
But just what you were saying about, I mean, he talks about that as far as, you know, I am a runner. This is who I am. This is my identity. It's not just what I do. It's who I am. So that's, it just kind of takes over. The other thing that I thought of as you were speaking was you said it takes a lot of time to do your exercise and you know, eat right and plan and everything. Mm-hmm. No doubt, for sure. But I imagine you're so much more productive in the other hours of your day that it's almost like, who cares that it, I mean, you know, that you've gained in the end. I mean, as far as energy and productivity, I would guess. Is that fair to say?
It's 100% fair to say, you know, and if I go back to 2016, when I most recently started to lose weight again, I had a number of things that I guess I would say were problems with my life. I was working at a job that I really didn't like. It was doing legal collections, right? Working with people who were pretty low energy, negative people. And I'd worked there for a long time and I felt like I was trapped in that environment. You know, and there were some other things, but you know, what I understood on some level was I only had so much energy. I only had so much time and attention and I needed to, you know, really focus, like I say, obsess about solving this one thing first. And that for me was losing the fat, right? And getting myself physically healthy. And then by doing that, right? And then that raised my energy, you know, and put me in a better state. You know, a couple of years later, I got another job. You know, someone actually reached out to me to hire me, you know, and you know, that wouldn't have happened if, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to function at that new job, which required me to be, you know, a more capable, diligent employee to be a better manager. I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not put in all that other work. Right. And, you know, and built myself into something more than I was.
Sure.
So it definitely helped make me more productive in all aspects of my life, you know, business, personal, everything.
Absolutely. So the first job you mentioned that you quit, 2016, I think, somewhere around there, financially, were you a millionaire at that point? You don't have to answer, but were you, cause I think what happens is, cause I just I worked part-time for the last 7 years and I just finally resigned myself to focus on my own businesses. And, you know, there's always that struggle of, you know, when is it the right time? And it's, there's no one size fits all answer, but I'm just curious, was that more of cutting out negativity and then you could move on? It sounds like that's the case versus, oh, I've made it now so I can kind of quit my job and do whatever I want.
Yeah, I made a very, I guess I would say, sort of lateral career move, but it was in a completely different field. You know, the collections field is not a great place to be in. And I think it's hard to find happiness when you're doing something like that all day, every day. So, you know, I was able to move on to another job, which I worked there for a couple of years and it was great. You know, I really expanded my horizons and my skill set. And I since came around to leaving that job to start my own business. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say is what I've learned along the way is that energy is more important than money. Because
that's really good.
If you have energy, you can always make more money, right? You can always grab a shovel and go out and dig ditches or whatever, right? Sure. But, you know, money can't buy you more energy, right? And, you know, so I understand that I'm always going to have the money that I need to do the things that I need to do, right? You know, right. Are there luxuries that I'd love to have? You know, sure, right? I'd love to be driving a 911 turbo instead of a Subaru. Right. But that's not money that I need, you know?
Sure.
You know, so it's just about really believing in myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing something that I think is making the world a better place, right. Is adding value to the world, because it's no way to live your life if you're spending all day, every day doing something that's not making the world a better place. Right. Mm-hmm. Then that's not a recipe for anyone to live a happy or healthy lifestyle, no matter how much money you're making from it.
Yeah, no, it's really, there's a lot of, I might have to re-listen to that. What you just, the last 5 minutes, that was really good. I just think, you know, entrepreneurship is such a sexy term, and it's, you know, and I'm an entrepreneur and I love it. I love doing my own thing. But I think that's just something everyone has to kind of decide for themselves as far as when they're ready. But in that process, I don't think it's, there's always something, a reason you shouldn't quit your job. There's always fear. There's always some kind of something holding you back. So, you know, in the end, I mean, you could get another job. I mean, if your business fails or whatever. So I would,
If the money runs out, right? You just get another job, and it looks like every place is hiring right now. So,
yeah, I mean, exactly.
It doesn't seem like it'd be that challenging.
Exactly. Awesome. So I'm going to fire off some questions here, and we'll see where it goes. What do people misunderstand about you?
I think, you know, I post on my Twitter feed a lot of sort of unorthodox things that I do, right? And I think people might think that, you know, like these are the secrets to my success. So I'll give you an example. I just bought some toe spreaders.
I saw this.
Right. Yeah. it was a viral tweet. It ended up getting like over 500,000 impressions, which I was really kind of shocked by. I figured it would get like 5 or 6 likes or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'm training for an Ironman race right now. You know, I'm coming up on 40 years old. I have really almost no athletic background. So I'm looking for every little advantage that I can get. And what I find really great about Ironman racing is that, you know, it requires me to be dialed in pretty much with everything, nutrition, recovery, right? Because it's just such a demanding thing to do every day for 9 months. So I talk a lot about these unorthodox things that I might do, you know, these small things that I try. I'm always experimenting, right? But this isn't what got me to the point that I'm at now. This isn't what I have clients doing, right? You know, like these small things aren't the things that move the needle. If you're someone looking to make a change, you know, the entire kind of philosophy behind my approach is called boulders, not pebbles, right? If you're looking to make a change in your life, you want to concern yourself with the boulders, the really big rocks, and not worry about the pebbles, the stuff like toe spreaders or something like that, right?
Right.
You want to get out there and start to build healthy habits that you can sustain that are going to make a difference in the long term. So while I talk about these things on my social media channels, people find them interesting. And you know, I find them interesting too, right? This isn't what got me to where I am. And this isn't why I'm successful, right? Because the fundamentals, I think for anybody or any business, focusing on the fundamentals and really nailing those are what's going to lead for success in the long term.
Definitely. That's really good. That's a really good answer. On episode 4 of our podcast, I had Matt Fore, F-O-R-E. He does Ironman. He's really into that stuff. So the only experience I have with it is watching my sister years ago do, she did a Chesapeake Man, which is an Ironman. I don't know if they still do it, but it's in Maryland on the Eastern Shore. It's an Ironman distance triathlon. And it was delayed to 2+ hours due to fog. And so that's already like, I'm already like, you know, how do you even, your timing and everything is all off, you know, but yeah, we went out to lunch. We went out to watch Ladder 49. We went out to dinner, you know, and she's doing this thing the whole time. It was like 17 hours. I just don't even know where to begin, but, no, that's really good. So yeah. So what your post may not be, it's really you, it's genuine, but it's not what people probably should focus on if they're trying to kind of start the change. They should focus on fundamentals. What's one of your biggest failures in life?
You know, I don't know that I really kind of frame things as failures. And, you know, I recorded a video about this yesterday. It's going to be coming out on my Twitter feed probably this week. You know, so for, you know, I, like I said, I lost 75 pounds twice only to gain the weight back again. And for years, this hung over my head as a failure, right? Because it, again, in some ways it was a failure. You know, things are a failure from a certain perspective, right? But from a different perspective, it's not a failure. But now when I look back on it, I'll say, okay, well, I lost weight in high school. I had no idea what I was doing. I basically starved myself and I did a lot of calisthenics, but I proved to myself that it was possible, right? Because before I did that, I didn't even know that I could do this, right? So I failed, I gained the weight back again. And then again in my 20s, right? I did it again and I failed and I gained it back again, but I taught myself a lot, right? And I really built the foundation for my knowledge that I'm still using today in my business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can look back on these experiences now and I would say, well, these weren't failures at all. These were important stepping stones for me to become ultimately successful. So I think really anything that you might see as a failure, right? It's only a failure from a given perspective, right? And from a given point in time, because if you zoom out and you look at it from a different perspective, I think you'd find that it was, you know, you can take a different look at it because in every one of my failures, and I've done a lot of journaling about, you know, these things and traumatic events from the past, I've always been able to kind of reframe them from a different perspective. And, you know, the old silver lining from a dark cloud, I think you can always find something that you can take from that. Even if you're failing the same level for the 100th time, right? There's still something you can learn from that and take away from that.
Yeah, that's really good. Awesome. If you could have coffee with, I don't know if you drink coffee, but there's no calories in coffee.
Yeah, I do.
if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would you choose and why?
That's a tough question. I think I would pick Theodore Roosevelt. Okay. He's been a really kind of influential figure in my life. And really these last couple of years, I read a interesting or fascinating 3-part trilogy about his life by, I believe, Edmund Morris off the top of my head. But it was like a 75-hour audio book. If you take up all three of these kind of individually, and, you know, if you just stop and think, right, how long would an audio book about your life be or my life, right? It certainly wouldn't be 75 hours. You know, and he's just somebody who really was able to, you know, reinvent himself so many times throughout his life. And, you know, just the breadth of his experience, he wasn't someone that let a single role define him. You know, he was police commissioner in New York. He was president of the United States. He led the Rough Riders. He basically single-handedly won and he started and won the Spanish-American War. He later wins a Nobel Peace Prize for avoiding a war, between Russia and China. He did exploring. He was a noted author and historian. So, you know, someone like that, you know, you don't really see that in figures today. With mm-hmm. the most prominent figures, they really kind of drill down into one specific area, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, he's somebody that I would love to have coffee with and talk to. And, you know, it's interesting because I find that even by studying a historical figure, you can really almost sort of bring their energy into your life. So maybe you don't get to literally sit down with them and talk to them and have coffee with them. But mm-hmm. if you ever read Think and Grow Rich mm-hmm. by Napoleon Hill, that book, he talks about having a sort of virtual, you know, system of mentors, right? That he would talk to, you know, and
right. It's like a virtual mastermind.
Kind of virtual mastermind group, you know, with historical figures in there. And I think you can definitely do something like that, even if you don't mm-hmm. have formal meetings with them, right? But just by studying historical figures and reading about them, you can bring some of their energy into your life and you can definitely sort of build on their influence and gain some of their wisdom.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speak about your business. What's a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
I think the challenge I face is selling myself and selling what I'm doing, because I'm taking a different approach to fat loss from pretty much anybody else that you'll find. Right. So, okay. You know,
how so?
Well, because again, I'm not really promising a short-term result, right? I'm not saying you're going to drop 10 pounds in 4 weeks or anything like that. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is you will make a holistic transformation and you will, yes, you will get results in the short term, but they will be results that you can sustain and build upon. And I will give you the tools to make this a permanent change, right? So, mm-hmm. so it's not, you know, it's a different approach than most people are taking. It's not like something I can package in a PDF necessarily and say, well, mm-hmm. here, just follow these instructions. Because everyone's going to be different. So, but you know what? I'm working on it every day, right? I'm connecting with more people. I'm getting better at sharing my message and connecting with people and convincing them of that. So, you know, that's, I guess, the biggest challenge I'm facing. My end goal is to help over 1 million people lose weight. I'm still not exactly sure how I'm going to accomplish that, but that's okay. Right. You don't have to know step 38 when you're on step 4. Right. So,
sure.
So I know if I just keep moving in the right direction, keep working with people, keep putting myself out there and positively influencing people that it'll work out. And, you know, if I keep making adjustments, I'll reach my goal the same as I reach my fat loss goal and the other goals that I've reached in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I've heard the analogy of the driving in fog. I spoke of fog earlier, but you know, you're not able to see the whole path, right? But if you drive 20 yards, you see the next 20 yards and it kind of opens up for you.
If you're trying to do something that no one else has done before, then there's not going to be a roadmap for you to follow. Just kind of have to figure it out as you go.
So do you take, and you don't have to get into how you approach things with a client, but would you recommend, you know, someone who's trying to lose a lot of weight that they only focus on the physical at that point? Or do you take like a multi-pronged approach and they should also deal with the mental and spiritual all at the same time?
Yeah, I take a multi-pronged approach. You know, it's important that you don't bite off more than you can chew, so to speak, right? So, so make sure that the things that you're doing really are moving the needle. I guess one of the challenging things from what I did is I can look back at what I did really over, I guess I would say, an 8-year period of when I kind of started turning my life around. And if I analyze how I did it, I don't think I did it the most efficient way possible. I didn't really have the top down picture of it. Mm-hmm. So as I kind of try to rebuild that, and I'll say, okay, well, we can definitely make this more efficient. Doing the things that I did could have been done a lot faster, right? And you know, with in a lot more intelligently. And I certainly took some some missteps along the way. I think at one point my fitness plan was, switching from beer to liquor. Right. So,
I may have been guilty of that one. Yeah. Maybe even currently.
Yeah. And it kind of worked probably a little bit, but it certainly opened up a whole other host of problems. I wouldn't recommend it. Right. Yeah. So it hasn't necessarily been a linear progression from step one all the way to where I am now. Right. So, I think it's important that, people really focus on their mental and emotional health. It's probably even more important than the physical in a lot of ways, because at the end of the day, I've kind of come to understand that my physical form really isn't all that important. If I'm healthy, if I'm able to do the things that I want to do, it's really more about what my emotional state is and how I'm feeling and, how much energy I have. That's much more.
I was waiting for you to say energy, because you've mentioned that three or four times, and that's definitely a takeaway for me from this episode for sure, is just keep going back to the energy. And I love that. That's awesome. I mean, that's almost like what draws, links the two, the mental and the physical, it seems like, is your energy. But I can tell you have a lot of energy. You have a lot of optimism. You're definitely a man on a mission, you're definitely moving forward, and you're in a growth mindset. I mean, it fits perfectly with this podcast. This isn't necessarily a rags to riches show. It's more about, and it's more about just overcoming adversity and getting to an abundance mindset. And that's, you're the perfect guest for it. So, anything to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, look, having an abundance mindset, I think it is challenging for me anyway. Right. And it's something that it is hard. It's hard to do that. You can't just, if you don't have an abundance mindset, you can't just flip a switch and get one. Right. It's something that's deeper than an intellectual understanding. Right. So it's how do you, on a deep level, have an abundance mindset and not just pay lip service to having an abundance mindset. And, I actually just tweeted something earlier today that I think encapsulates it pretty well. It's that if you believe in yourself, if you believe in your ability to, overcome adversity, if you believe in your ability to adapt to whatever life throws at you, then there's not much to worry about at that point, because everybody likes to panic about, how the world is changing, right? You go on to any news source or social media feed, you'll see all this stuff about inflation and Ukraine and pandemics and all these other things, right? But when I stop and look around right now at my own life, what problems do I have? I don't see a whole lot of problems, right? And life is pretty good, and I don't allow myself to get caught up in those things. I know that the world is going to change, and what I want to do is be adaptable. And when it changes, I'll change along with it. And I know if I can do that, then there's really nothing for me to worry about. And I think that is kind of the cornerstone to the abundance mindset, because if you don't think like that, if you're scared of the change, if you think things aren't going to work out well for you, well, that's where you start to get a scarcity mindset. And that's where you start to, become really risk averse, and you start to, I guess gather the acorns for the winter, right? Because you're not optimistic about the future. So if you're optimistic about the future and you on a deep level believe in yourself, which happens through action, not through words, you believe in yourself by putting yourself out there and overcoming things and doing it and proving it to yourself that you're worthy of the belief, then you have an abundance mindset these things will take care of themselves to a certain degree.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's awesome. That's for me. And again, we're not saying that you don't have any adversity or I don't have any adversity currently, or you never slip out of your abundance mindset, but I made a switch around 2015, actually 2014, 2015, where I stopped watching the news. And again, I still pay attention to what's going on, but I was, watching cable news and just like, it's depressing and I have zero control over it. So what's the point? So then I did start to switch to, who do I know that is on my team and what are my strengths and start taking action. And it's, I've experienced a similar thing where it's just, it's so encouraging to be able to only focus on what you can control. And personally, I think people can control or influence more than they give themselves credit for. And like, for example, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but did your girlfriend also lose a lot of weight?
Yeah, she's lost about 100 pounds. And, you know, I definitely helped her along with that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I would say I did it more by example than by mm-hmm. anything that I said, right? You know, I think this is key, right? For everyone is mm-hmm. talk is cheap. No one's going to listen to your advice, right?
Right.
You know, lead by example and show people sure. that the way you're doing it is better. And some of them are going to follow. And some of them, you know, will start to sort of embrace what you are doing. You know, it's interesting because at her job, before we moved, you know, she was doing that challenge 75 hard, right? Which a lot mm-hmm. of people do to, mm-hmm. Lose weight. And yep. a bunch of her coworkers started doing it, right? And they saw her walking at lunch and how happy she was and how good she looked. And, you know, they mm-hmm. started saying, oh, okay, she must know what she's doing, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's up to us. You talked about cutting out the mainstream media. I think that's a great thing for everyone to do.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about the importance of, you know, really auditing your social media feed, mm-hmm. making sure the people that you're tuned into are the yeah. influences that you want to be tuned
yeah.
into,
you know, exactly.
And that's awesome. Really important. So if the people in your life aren't like that, it's going to be problematic. You got to right. kind of put the blinders on a bit and just block them out. And,
yeah.
you know, social media is a very powerful tool. You can connect right. to other people who are aligned with you, who are like-minded. You can follow people who set a great example, and you can use that as your kind of support group. If you can't find these people in the real yeah. world, I know I have a hard time finding them sometimes.
So. No, I love it. I mean, it really is about taking ownership. Taking control of even your social media feed, because that might sound like no big deal, but social media is not bad or good. It's very powerful. It can be, right? And so just yeah. like the way I see money, I don't see money as bad or good. It's very powerful. It can be used in a, you know, good for good or for bad. And so that's really important, is controlling what you're exposed to online. I mean, that's yeah.
Technology amplifies, I think, yes. the things that are already there. So, yes. you know, if you want to use it for bad, it's going to be that much more worse.
Yeah.
If you want to use it for good, well, it could be that much better, you know, because I've built out my Twitter and I have, you know, I hear from dozens of people every day who I'm inspiring, who I'm influencing. Yep. And that is so rewarding for me. That's more rewarding than any money, right? And that's mm-hmm. not to say, yeah. well, money doesn't matter or whatever. You know, right. obviously I can't eat and, you know, pay my rent with happy, you know, messages from people. But at the same time, if I zoom out and look at the big picture, right? Like, these people are making their families better, their communities better, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, the old butterfly effect, right? You know, just yeah. by smiling at one person, you can really help hundreds, if not thousands, of other people just mm-hmm. by kind of spreading that positive message.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very powerful.
I love it. I mean, we definitely, the world needs more of that right now, for sure, coming out
yeah,
of
definitely.
The pandemic and everything. And there's a lot of hate online. And I just love the message that you're bringing and the passion that you're bringing to this and the energy you have and so many things that I could go on and on about. So as we wrap up here, Matt, let our listeners know how they can reach out to you online and add any final thoughts that you'd like to.
Yeah, sure. I'm on, you know, Twitter is my prominent kind of social media. I'm at MattIzzo, just at Matt Izzo. And, you know, my DMs are always open. I'm happy to answer any questions or talk to anybody. You know, I am selling services, but again, that's not yeah. necessarily my only thing. So if it's a quick question, I'm happy to answer it. I'm happy to help you out, you know. But what I would say is, you know, and obviously you don't need to hire me to be successful, right? I did it without hiring me. And you mm-hmm. know, so this isn't something that anybody needs. You can figure it out on your own, but it took me 25 years, right? So if you could tell me I could have all the information and knowledge that I have now, we'll say 15 years ago, how yeah. much money would I pay for it? Well, I would have paid every dollar I had for it, basically, right? So, you know, it's really a process, and you know, you can figure it out yourself. But if you want to save some time and look into coaching, if not even from me, right? You can. There's tons of great coaches out there. It's really an interesting coaching space, because there's real people out there who have experience, who are now selling their services, and you can hire them, and you can get, you know, real impact from people who are on social media that can help guide you and help you down the path in a way that really never existed before, mm-hmm. because now there's a way for you to find these people and connect with them and get some sort of verification, right? Because I'm out there posting the receipts mm-hmm. of what I'm doing every day. So you can see that I'm not just some fraud or some kind of charlatan, right? And there's yeah. other people like that too. So right. I think it's a powerful tool that everybody can use and, you know, can really help kind of make the world a better place. If we kind of get away from the, you know, mainstream media sorts of like these big, mm-hmm. These big corporate influences yeah. that don't necessarily have making the world a better place, you know, as their core mission.
So, right. No, that's really good. So just very quickly. So what does a typical, if someone is interested in working with you, what does that look like?
Yeah. So we would have a, you know, initial kind of assessment call, and then I build a program, you know, basically mm-hmm. something that meets that individual's needs, right? Because mm-hmm. it has to be customized to that individual, what their situation is, what their physical situation is, what kinds of food they eat, right? What their lifestyle is like, right? You know, so it's not just a cookie cutter thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that's customized, and it starts, and then you have to live your life and you have to make adjustments and see how it works, because not everything you're going to do is going to work out at first. So it's mm-hmm. definitely a give and take process of making adjustments as you go and, you know, layering in new things, right? Once, mm-hmm. once certain behavior patterns become a habit, then finding other behaviors that can be added to that, and just layering mm-hmm. habits one on top of the other, right? Sure. Like I talked a bit about some of the unorthodox things that I do. And if mm-hmm. you would have showed me my daily routine now, you know, 6 years ago, I would have said, you're crazy. There's no way I could do that. But I didn't just wake up overnight and start doing it, right? Yeah. I started by making simple changes on the important things, and I just kind of built on it from there, you know, and seeing what yeah. worked, seeing what didn't work, and just, you know, periodically making adjustments. And you know, that's the only way to do it. It's unrealistic to think that you're going to just wake up one day and become a new person and follow this crazy program and do that, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you can do that for 8 or 12 or 16 weeks, but when your willpower gives in, when mm-hmm. your motivation goes away, yeah. what are you going to be left with? And, you know, this is why so many people fail so often. And this is why I try to instill in my clients, hey, this is how you can be successful, not just for the short term, but for the long term, and how you can mm-hmm. make this a permanent change and not just a temporary thing that you do for a while. And then you stop yeah. and you go back to what you were both doing before.
Yeah. I can tell you're a genuine guy who really wants to help. And that's the, like you said, the long term. You have the long-term in mind and the best interest of the client, I can tell, which in the end, hopefully comes back to you, you know, financially and in other ways, but
I know it will.
Really quickly. So what's more important, diet or exercise?
Diet would be more important, right? Because, yeah. you know, so I started walking 10,000 steps every day. In at the end of 2013, when my mother gave me a Fitbit for Christmas, and I ended up doing it every day for 7.5 years, wow. just because, you know, I kind of became determined on that, but it was another 2.5 years until I really started losing weight. So I walked and all that stuff. But then once I kind of got the diet dialed down and I downloaded my Fitness Pal, started tracking mm-hmm. my food intake, restricting my calories, I was able mm-hmm. to lose 75 pounds in about 9 months from that. Gotcha. So,
and when I say diet, I don't, and I know you know this, yeah. but I don't mean going on a diet per se. I mean your intake of food.
Yeah, it's about intake and it's about food choices, right? Both yeah. matter to a certain degree, obviously. But you know, if I exercise is great for everyone to be doing.
Sure.
It's not something that people who are only trying to lose weight should do. It yeah. can be as simple as just going out and walking, though. It doesn't have to be something yeah. that's straining or strenuous if you don't yeah. want it to be. Everyone should be exercising, but if you're trying to drop some pounds, diet is what you need to focus on for that.
Yeah. That's really good. Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you very much. I know we went a little bit long, and yeah. like I said, I know you are busy. I know you have a hard stop, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing. There were so many knowledge bombs that you dropped, really. Like, this has been excellent. So I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. So, and to the listeners out there, we appreciate you as well. We want to thank you for spending your most valuable asset with us, which is your time. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, your time. If you like the show, please share it with your friends and fellow podcast listeners. One entrepreneur at a time, we can change the world. See you next time.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.